Static, interference, loss of signal, noise. There are people in conservative talk radio who are claiming the boss's memo telling them to stop claiming the U.S. election was stolen infringes on their right to freedom of speech. It does not. I'm pretty sure they actually know that. Likewise, suspending the failed president's social media accounts does not infringe freedom of speech. In media studies, let's make sure we're clear about that. A memo from the boss, suspension from Twitter, does not impose silence and is not unconstitutional. I'm Paul Cross. This is Cross Talk, Media History, Commentary, and Analysis, Season 5, Episode 9. I am deliberately leaving out voices from the opening today, replacing them with that bit of noise between signals recorded directly from an AM radio. I have argued in previous episodes there is far too little attention paid in other media, like newspapers and what used to be TV news channels, to what happens in right-wing talk radio. One of the very few exceptions is the weekly Reliable Sources program, hosted by Brian Stelter on CNN. Right-wing talk radio in the U.S. has been fanning the flames of Trumpism for years. After the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol in Washington, January 6th, one corporation that owns radio stations that carry much of that talk finally has something to say. Cumulus Media owns more than 400 radio stations. It also owns Westwood One, which distributes programs to something like 8,000 radio stations, including many in Canada. After the events in Washington, according to a story I first picked up from MSN.com on Twitter, a Cumulus executive warns the company's talk show hosts. Brian Phillips, their executive vice president of content, puts out a memo telling hosts, "The company will not tolerate any suggestion the election has not ended." The election has been resolved, it says, and any host who continues to suggest it has not will be terminated. The story gets wider circulation throughout the day Monday. Many of the stories include mention of talk show host Mark Levin, whom I have discussed here in the past, and by the time he goes on air later in the day, he's livid. After reading from some of the news stories that include his name, he says,
"I never got any memo. Not from Brian Phillips, Executive Vice President of Content for Cumulus. Not from anybody. Nobody threatened me. Nobody told me what I could and couldn't say. Because if they did, you'd be hearing about it. But they didn't. They didn't. I haven't incited anything. I don't promote violence."
It's really interesting to me that when we're told the memo is about refraining from saying the election is not over, Levin goes to the issue of inciting violence. Levin claims to be a constitutional expert. Within minutes, he's going on to say that the news stories are defamatory and that they, along with any move by the company that pays for his shows, would violate his right to free speech.
"Now, these media companies are interfering with my business, torturously interfering with what I do here. They're interfering with my free speech, and they are libeling me, and I am monitoring them, as are others. They're not going to shut me up under any circumstances. If something happens here or something happens on Fox or something like that, I will have digital TV and I'll have my podcast. But nobody has threatened me. None of them. They're trying to create a controversy where there is none whatsoever. None whatsoever. That's the Washington Post, that's the New York Times, that's the corrupt media in America. It's a disgrace, an absolute disgrace."
So let's deal very quickly here with the idea of freedom of speech in the United States. I have a copy of the First Amendment on a coffee mug that sits here on my desk in Toronto, a memento from RTNDA, as it was historically known, the Radio Television News Directors Association. It says, "Congress shall make no law," and I'll skip ahead, "prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press." So, as Mark Levin knows, it's government that cannot tell him what not to say. His boss can certainly say, "Don't say that here, don't say that on my radio station." Cumulus is telling hosts to stop spreading lies about the outcome of the election over its radio stations. Rush Limbaugh, also discussed in previous episodes here, is not employed by Cumulus, but his show airs on several of their stations. He may not be subject to the memo, but seems to be alluding to it the same day as we're sampling Levin here, while continuing to suggest the election was stolen.
We are being summarily suppressed, eliminated, wiped out on social media. Isn't that the same thing that happened to many of our votes? Democrats make things they don't like disappear. If they do it once, they can do it again and again and again, and they are making us disappear. They're trying. What's happening on social media reinforces beliefs that Trump supporters were cheated, that votes mysteriously vanished into thin air. Now, we're not supposed to talk about this. Some people aren't.
I hope not to have occasion to return to these voices very soon. But like the failed precedent they support, they play to the media illiterate. Having your Twitter account suspended does not violate your constitutional right to freedom of speech, not in the U.S. and not in Canada under our specific provision in the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. You call real news fake news, you call real established media corrupt, and sooner or later, we're here. This is Crosstalk. I'm Paul Cross. I study and I teach podcasting and radio.